This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 290 of the Countdown Podcast, where I don't know what the frick I'm doing. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul, and Wayne doesn't know what he's doing
because
we're talking horror.
Horror.
The season this week on the show.
Bloody October.
We've only done like, this is the one horror theme one we've done. We should be doing it all month long. Really.
Man, fuck that shit. Fuck that shit for Christmas.
Anyway, we got Wayne to do this one topic, which is going to be the top 10 films of the undead. Mm. And because this is for hashtag all the horror this month, all the month of October, check out hashtag all the horror so you can see an episode a day from a different podcast uniting to celebrate Halloween and horror and all that good stuff. And as part of that, what you tend to do is get someone else on from who's also doing hashtag all the horror. And we've got a first-time guest on the show coming all the way from Delaware in the United States. This is Sean Ennis from the Story of Your and Yours podcast. Sean, welcome to the Countdown.
Hey, man.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Wayne. I am so excited to be here. I cannot even express how exciting this is for me.
So you won't. Good. All right.
I understand.
Words literally fail me at this point.
Podcasters, what we don't need words at all. No, it's great to have you here, Sean. And as I talked you up last time, you have a reputation in the podcasting community for having a voice of, well, I believe Nick Haskins of the Epic Film Guys calls you the Velvet Drizzle.
That is the best nickname I've ever heard.
I got to say, I don't hate the nickname. I don't hate
it's
the nickname. I do
damn
quite enjoy
good.
It.
I think as we get in, and hopefully we'll get a bit of that bass will come into Sean's voice as he criticizes Wayne for one of his ridiculous choices.
Yes, everyone, this is going to be a weird show. No, not so much weird, just, you know, bad for me. I don't know shit about horror. Heads up, everyone. I don't know squat. I hate horror movies. I hate horror people. I hate Paul. Now,
that's the soundboard. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's great to have you here. And that was Wayne's explanation to you, because long-term listeners, of course, know Wayne is terrible with horror.
No, I don't like him at all. It's scary. I'm scared. Fuck you.
So he does this one under sufferance, but that's why I have Sean here to pick up
Absolutely.
Wayne's end and do a much better job. Now, Sean, before we go any further, tell our listeners about your show.
So my show is called Stories of Your and Yours, and what I do on there is I tell short stories, or I narrate short stories, that is. I tell older stories, classic stories by people like Edgar Allan Poe, Ray Bradbury, things like that. And I also tell stories that are submitted by listeners. And we add sound effects, music, all that kinds of things to kind of spice them up a little bit. It's a lot of fun. So if you like some short stories, just check it out. That's Stories of Your, Y-O-R-E, and Yours, Y-O-U-R-S. And of course, I'll be rebranding that because every time I have to promote it, I have to spell the name of the podcast. So soon, within the next few months, it's going to be called Ink and Ash, a short story podcast. And those are spelled I-N-K and A-S-H, not A-S-S. As Wayne would probably have you believe.
Yeah, we were saying this, Ink and Ass would be my show.
No, it would be Ass and Ink.
Ass and Ink.
Get it around the right way, please.
Ink in your ass. All right.
There it is.
Didn't take long to get down that road. But all right then, so for hashtag all the horror then, on the other side of this music cue, let's get into it then, the top 10 films of the undead. Of the undead.
Quit trying to be as cool as Sean Paul.
Never going to happen. I totally acknowledge. Is the topic of this week's Countdown, episode 290, and it's pretty straightforward. Films that feature the undead. It's hard to screw this brief up. Let's see how Wayne goes.
So just to clarify, undead means you were dead, but now you can walk. Is that basically it?
Reanimated dead. Would that be your opinion, Sean?
Sure.
So reanimated. That's fair enough. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to just be, there's loopholes here. It doesn't just have to be zombie films.
Good, because that's fucking right. Good.
Because vampires are the undead as well.
Yes. Good. That's right. Good to hear. Excellent.
Excellent.
So you've got some leeway here, Wayne. You've got some things to
work
with.
No, I was messing with like vamps and zombies.
Well, look out.
I know. I'm just saying. Just so you know. Also, there'll be some weird shit that you'll freak out. I can't wait. Keep going.
Oh, no, it should be a lot of fun. All right, then. We'll let the guest lead away. Sean, tell us your number 10.
So my number 10 is a 2007 film directed by one David Slade, starring Josh Hartnett, of all people, and Melissa George. Paul knows where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
And that is 30 Days of Night.
Oh, I've heard of this comic. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so 30 Days of Night takes place in a town called Barrow, Alaska. And that is a place where at a certain time of the year, there is, as the title would have you believe, 30 Days of Night. They lose a lot of their population. And in fact, it shows them changing the population sign from a little over 500 to a little over 100. Mm-hmm. And then in this movie, a stranger shows up, which is followed by all sorts of bad things happening, preventing people from being able to leave the town. And then wouldn't you know it, in a town full of night, we soon encounter some vampires. And so things get a little crazy.
They do.
So it's a lot of fun, a lot of blood. The vampires are very cool. They speak a kind of a unique language, which was made for the film, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And so, you know, we know the population is tiny. It looks bad for the small group of people that are there. So what are they going to do? And that's what the movie shows us. Good stuff.
Paul, you like this one?
Yeah, it's a great choice. It was in consideration for my list as well, so I'm glad, Sean, you brought it up today. And it's not these cuddly vampires. It's none of this Twilight shit.
No.
Right?
What kind of vampires are they?
These are bloodthirsty animals that just tear people to pieces and have no remorse whatsoever.
Now, do they look at least like humans?
Not really.
Really?
They're big black eyes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, but yeah, it's kind of that Nosferatu kind of thing.
I see. And I think, oh, ugly ass vampire.
Danny Huston is the leader of them, so...
That guy.
He's really good
in that role, too.
Yeah, he is. He pops up in a film. Instantaneously, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or at least the friend who turns out to be a bad guy.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
that's right.
As in cinematic, amazing experience. Which one was it? Not Olympus Has Fallen.
It was that other
not
shit
London
one.
Has Fallen. Angel Has Fallen.
Angel Has Fallen. Yeah, that was shit.
he appears on screen acting all nice. Bad guy.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
No, great choice. Thank you for that, Sean. Wayne, then.
Oh, really? Me?
Let's swing around. Ah, no, I'll go next because we'll save your shitness for last.
Yeah, go for it, son.
all right, my number 10 is one of the classic films on my list. It's a little sleeper. Not that many people have seen it, but those that have generally tend to love it. It's Fred Decker's directorial debut, Night of the Creeps.
Night of the Creeps. What happens in Night of the Creeps?
Have you seen this one, Sean?
I haven't. It's one that I wanted to catch up with before the show, and I didn't get around to it.
It's a homage to the 50s sort of B sci-fi horror films.
Sure.
And basically, in it, these alien slugs come to Earth, and they burrow into the corpses' heads and reanimate them. And then the corpses run around killing people. Yep.
You and your fucking movies.
Stars Tom Atkins as the police chief inspector, whatever he is, who's investigating all of this stuff. And he has some great immortal lines in this film, including this.
Thrill me.
That one.
Oh, God. That's the fucking movie I got to. This piece of shit that was in my ear hole and shit.
Thrill me.
Fuck me.
So, yes. It's just heaps of fun. Has a couple other great lines as well. Screaming like banshees from a character who pops up just to say that three or four times.
What?
In the course of the film. You have to see it. It's hilarious. And Fred Decker is the guy who directed Monster Squad and co-wrote one of Wayne's favorite films of the last 5 years, The Predator.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. As well as RoboCop 3.
That one sucked!
Which is what killed his career for a long time.
That was a Frank Miller piece of shit. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So all the classics, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Night of the Crypts is great. Check it out.
Nice one.
All right, Wayne.
All right, man.
Here we go.
I don't think you're going to expect this one, I'm going to tell you, right? Because this is a movie I saw when I was a youngster.
Okay.
It's called Fright Night.
Yeah, very nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought most people would know this one. All right, well, check it out. Right? This is about this teenage, dude, his name is Charlie Brewster, and he's a bit like Paul. He's a horror film junkie. So it's no surprise that when this new neighbor, this reclusive, sexually fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex, really cool dude, Chris Sarandon, moves next door, he becomes convinced he's a vampire, and no one believes him, and a bunch of strange events occur, and in the end, Charlie has no choice but to turn the only person who could help, and that's this washed-up television vampire killer guy. Played by Roddy McDowall, and he comes in. And
he's like the Elvira.
Exactly. And it's like a really hammy performance. But here's what happened with this movie, right? Have you seen the poster or the video cover? Sorry, I saw it on VHS. It's got a house and a really scary looking vampire with teeth kind of That scared the shit out of me. Again, I'm a delicate flower, right? It's like 1985, massive.
Bitch, please.
I know, I'm 10 years old, right? So I'm like, shit. But my sister told me about this movie. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch it, right? And then I found it oddly accessible. It's a horror comedy.
Yeah,
it looked like it was a scary piece of fucking, you know, but like, this is way better. So it's like, oh, I kind of like this now. And I felt a little bit like one of the cool kids who had seen a horror movie.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, but like, now that I see Paul likes horror movies, I don't think they're cool anymore.
Fair enough. All right. It also stars Marcy from Married with Children playing Brewster's love interest.
That's right.
That was her?
Yeah. And she's, from memory, she's at least 10 years older than a high schooler in real life.
Is that why she's in Married with Children? She's always trying to fuck like footballers, like the high schoolers? Hilarious.
Not sure that's why, but okay, there's a link. All sure. Right.
But by the way, did you see the Colin Farrell remake?
Yes.
I've heard that's
actually Anton Yelchin.
Yeah. Yes, someone told me that's better. Have you seen it?
No, it's not better.
It's not better. Okay.
Sean, have you seen that one?
No, it's not. Oh. Yeah, I have. It's not better.
It's okay. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But it's not better. And there's a sequel to Fright Night Part 2. Which is also pretty good. Not the new one, the sequel to the original.
Oh, okay. Same dudes?
Same characters are back in it. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, cool.
Not Chris Arandon, but yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Nice.
All right, cool. Thanks for that. Sean, over to you for your 9.
So my number 9 is the most recent film on my list. It's from 2018. In fact, made my top 10 of that year. And it is from a director named Julius Avery. And it is a little number called Overlord.
Ah.
Holy shit, you put this on a list? I was thinking about doing it, but then I was afraid of persecution.
Why?
Because I know, but it's like, you guys are probably coming, well, I thought you'd come with some fucking like classics.
All right,
okay.
We're still low on the list. It's just number 9.
Okay,
we're
good call. I've seen this one. No. Okay.
I figured you had. Yeah, so I love the way, I love everything about Overlord, really. The way it opens like an old war movie, you know, the whole feel, like the whole feel of it is like an old war movie. And it takes a while for the first of the undead to show up. But when it does, that first transformation is just awesome. And all the practical effects and everything, the fight scenes are great. And then, you know, just the way it culminates in the, it's a satisfying finale. And plus Wyatt Russell, I mean, come on, it's great.
Are we liking Wyatt Russell?
Yeah,
how's everyone feeling about Ray Russell? I'm liking his work.
I can't remember too much.
It's early, but it's promising.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm good. Sorry.
That's just good genes.
Jump in. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I slipped my mind. I forgot it is a zombie film in effect, but a really good one. What has he done since Julius Avery though? He's kind of gone quiet.
Yeah, I think he's got something in development right now, but there's not been anything of note since then, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, I own this one on 4K.
Oh, for God's sake. Now it's just within his reach. He can just turn the damn filter on.
So look, I'm right behind that choice.
This one is gory as hell, as I recall. Do you remember?
It was a very rare... Over here, our rating system works a bit different, Sean. R for us is very, very rare for a film to be released as an R.
Yeah, R is like...
Because you can't get in if you're under 18 at all. Not even with an adult. So it's not like an NC set.
No kidding.
Not like an R rated at your end. So for it to get that far, you know it went pretty far.
Yeah. Was it an R rated here?
Yeah.
Was it?
My 4K is R rated too, so you don't knock too many of those out either.
God, yeah, it was really bad.
Really gory. Yeah.
Yeah, really gory.
Okay.
Really gory.
Nice choice. I'm impressed.
Very nice. All right, my number 9, here's that classic, the first of them that you were looking for, Wayne.
Go on.
Going all the way back to 1968 and the birth of the zombie genre with George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
I've heard you speak of this on occasion.
Yeah. And I don't need to go through it again. Everyone who follows horror films knows all about this one. It literally created the subgenre.
Let me ask
you shuffling, something. Shambling, dead that want to eat you.
Brains.
That came
brains.
From. Well, it doesn't just go for brains. They go for any flesh in the Romero universe. Brains is a
They're coming
different...
to get you, Barbara.
There you go.
Oh, there's
that? Do that again when we're not talking over you.
Yeah, sorry. They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Oh,
nice.
Man.
Nice.
That's sexual.
Let me ask you. That could just say, I'm coming to get you, Wayne.
Go on.
I'm coming to get you, Wayne.
Yep. More than half a chubby, I can tell you. I heard Jordan Peele say that, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the only other black horror other than his. And Candyman.
Yeah, Candyman.
Is that right?
Candyman, sure. Well, this one stars an African-American actor as the lead. But the thing is, his name's Dwayne Jones.
Uh-huh.
Romero cast him never wanting to make a political statement about race. He just cast him because he was the best actor.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's awesome then.
All right, cool. Which is nice. So yeah, small group of people hold up in a small farmhouse where the dead have arisen, trying to survive. Numbers are too much. They're eventually getting sort of pushed back further and further inside, and how people break under stress. That's the film.
That's your jam, man. Totes.
All right. So over to you again.
Okay, here's where it all goes south.
Oh, what's going so well?
Well, I hear it. That's why I peppered you up with that number 10. And now I put Resident Evil at number 9. Oh. Okay. Now, I didn't know this, everyone. Because first of all, when we went
to see this. Well, that
didn't take long. I know. At the movies, we went to see this, right? I didn't play the game. So I didn't know why Mila Jovovich was wearing a fucking red dress with the boots.
The black boots.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Which Paul's fan of, let me tell you. But everyone, Resident Evil is based on that video game. It's Mila Jovovich and Michelle Rodriguez. And they lead this commando team who has to break into this hive, which is this vast underground genetics laboratory, and is operated by this powerful umbrella corporation, where they've got this deadly virus that got unleashed and it kills the lab's personnel and resurrects them all as undead, hence the zombie. And they have basically, these guys have 3 hours to shut down the lab supercomputer and close it before the virus threatens to overrun the whole Earth. First of all, I am told that this is the most horror-y of them. The rest of them became...
But you saw some of them, right?
I saw, like, the second... This could have been the second one because I liked the girl better, but I know this is a better movie. I mean, there was other reasons why it was good. It was other reasons.
I know.
For a place that was just confined to one location, I remember finding it quite exhilarating. And I was surprised. Does everyone hate this?
Exhilarating, you say.
No, this one's okay, but it doesn't belong anywhere near this list.
I know, that's why. And again, this is showing you how few of these. I was cycling through these motherfuckers going, yeah, I got this and three. I can pick from.
I get really worried the next one is Resident Evil Afterlife. And then your next choice after that is Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Resident Evil Extinction would be the next one, but I didn't do that.
All right.
What is with all the sequels, by the way? Was it Paul W.S. Anderson? Yeah. Is that the guy?
It's everyone's question. What is the deal with all the sequels? We'd all like to know that.
Yeah, because if you guys hate it and you're the people, you're the audience, I mean...
Yeah, it makes money. They all make money, which is just mind-blowing. Yeah. They've finally given up on that. They've moved over to destroy another game, Monster Hunter, where that film's coming out very shortly.
I'm excited to hear what Caleb from Netflix and School thinks about that one. I'm ready to watch his head explode.
Yeah, you can feel the rage building even from over here with regard to that one. Okay, back to you, Sean.
All right, my number 8 is Night of the Living Dead. So we just hit it.
Hey, on the same way. Anything you want to add?
No, not really. I think you hit it all. You know, it's classic, bleak, social commentary, unintentional, and, it's good stuff. It shows you can do good things on a low budget, even in 1968.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Very nice. Obviously, I 100% agree.
Very cool.
Now I'm going to pivot hard left as I move into the vampire territory.
Excellent.
And I'm going with what I think is one of the funniest films just before we started doing the podcast, and it's since spawned a pretty good TV series as well. I talk about it a bit. It's What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes. I knew you'd have this on here. Yeah. I knew you'd have this on here.
Directed by Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement. It's a faux documentary about a bunch of vampires living together as housemates, mixing their vampire-ness with the shit that housemates have to deal with each other. And it's great.
Sean, have you seen this one?
Yeah, in fact, it's a little bit low for me.
Ooh.
Oh! Yeah.
I wouldn't quite say it's low, but it's a little low.
In that case, I'm not going to say anything more. I'm going to let Sean talk about that one.
Go ahead,
let's,
man.
Let's you go. Sean, take it away.
I mean, I think you hit kind of what scratches the itch, right? It's a documentary that shows just the combination of the vampire-ness with the daily life. You know, the opening scene where they're talking to their roommates about washing the dishes. You know, it's and I love the werewolves, not swearwolves.
Oh yeah.
You know, just the mundanity of everyday life that the vampires have to deal with is just tremendous. And Jermaine Clement is great. Taika Waititi is great. They're both hilarious. They play it perfectly. And it's just great. You know, they never veer from the tone that they set. And it just gets funnier as it goes on. It's great. I love it.
I think actually...
Did you watch this one?
Yeah, I did. I did. And I it was because a bunch of people, not even just you, actually said to me, you gotta see it. And I'm like, okay. And again, you walk in with those kind of reviews. You know, right. Okay, but yeah, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have an odd thing with Taika Waititi films where I kind of like him, but I kind of don't sometimes. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Anyway, this is a horror thing. It was behind the eight ball. What can I say?
Just a reminder to all who are voting this week, Wayne doesn't like
Hunt. I'm losing the hell out of this. I'm losing the hell. And
I was just about to bring up Hunter the Water People.
Yeah.
Well, in case you have any doubts that I'll lose this week, check out my number 8.
All right, here we go.
All right. I've carried the torch for this movie for centuries, it seems. Uh-oh. And no one agrees with me.
Van
I'm
Helsing.
Fine with it. No. Good call. But in fact, my number 8 is The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh.
What? Would you like to suck my butt?
What? How is there zombies in this?
It's a fucking vampire cunt.
Oh, one vampire.
That's right. God. Shit, motherfucker. You were lucky to get this motherfucker in, man. Do the Princess Bride where Wesley came back to life.
Bullshit.
Oh dear. Everyone, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh my god.
Is about famed exhibitionist. Well, like he's just busy himself going, oh hell no.
Oh, it's the zombie of Sean Connery's career.
See, I loved it. It's about Sean Connery playing Alan Quatermain. He's recruited by the British Empire for the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is like the fucking Jekyll and Hyde and the damn vampire and motherfucking that dude whose painting
Mina
gets
Harker.
Old. Yeah, that guy.
Girl.
And girl?
Yeah.
No, Mina Harker was the chick, but who was the... What's the guy's name? Dorian Gray.
What is it?
Dorian Gray, exactly.
Yeah, Dorian Gray.
And is it?
And the Invisible Man.
Who's the kid in it, though?
Kid.
Is it
Tom? Oh, the young guy. He was...
Is it Tom Sawyer?
Yeah, it's Tom Sawyer. It's Tom Sawyer who became a fucking CIA agent. What the hell? That's awesome.
More Sean, you should read that one on your podcast.
Dude, it's big, it's silly, it's entertaining, in my opinion, okay? This is that era in the early aughts where it was like The Mummy. This has got that The Mummy kind of DNA in it, I think, you know? And, like, it's part of it is that Captain Nemo, he was in it as well. He's got the best ship on the planet. It's the coolest submarine, man. It's called the Sword of the Ocean. Fucking beautiful, all right? Shit pulls out all kinds of big set pieces. I think they were gripping fights in the library, all kinds of. It's basically like steampunk technology, but really cool.
And what a film with the undead, hey Sean!
First thing Mina I thought Harker of was undead. I knew exactly where he was going.
Hey, there was enough horror shit in here to fill out the undeadness. Come on now.
Most of the horror was in watching it.
So I guess I actually think this might be an underappreciated masterpiece. One guy talking. I actually love watching this film, and I've watched it heaps of times. That car, the car chase through the city, that was fucking pimp. That car looked like the Batmobile slut.
Right. You quit while you're behind.
Anyway, it made $179 million off a $78 million budget. So it wasn't a total fuck up.
No.
But
it wasn't a home run either. And as Sean has alluded, it did kill Sean Connery's career deader than Dillinger.
I think not. He was doing all kinds of shit after that.
No, this is
a 50-year career. Really? Yeah. A 50-year career and LXG just killed it.
Really?
Yep.
Well, okay. Wait, I gotta... Never mind.
There's no need to say anything more, Sean. I think our laughter has expressed volumes.
I enjoyed that.
It's better than I could have hoped so far. It's better than I could have hoped.
Back to you for your 7.
My number 7, I may take a little heat on this one for being low, but this is a classic directed by Sam Raimi and starring Bruce Campbell. It is 1992's Army of Darkness. Excuse me there.
Nice.
1992's Army of Darkness. So, I mean, this one is full of chock full of catchphrases and Bruce Campbell being very hammy and fighting himself, mostly himself, really, and against the, we're talking about the
I hate that scene, but everything else in these movies also.
I thought the same thing.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All the little catchphrases, this is my boomstick, groovy, give me some sugar, baby, things like that. It's great. Yeah.
Hey, she fighting bitch, the let's go.
Yep.
That was my favorite one. Yeah. That was the best.
Like, can't imagine why.
It's like every few minutes. Every few minutes you get some ashisms. It's great.
This is actually... Paul showed me one of these Evil Dead films when I was a child. Yes. And this one here was the one that I... like. That one was... I could get that academically. I was like, oh yeah, this is an old movie and I can see how they did this. Saw this one and I was just genuinely entertained. I didn't like the little ashes, but that's it. So, I love it. Nice work.
It's a good choice. Technically, I ruled out Evil Deads because I need to find some way to rule things out just because they're kind of deadites. They're possessed by demons type thing, but I'm not
arguing. For me, it would totally have gone.
No, it counts. I'm just saying that's why none of these are on my list, so I'm glad that Sean mentioned.
Yeah, so you had the option of choices.
Well, you reckon you might cop some hassle for that one being low. Well, I will cop some hassle for this one being so low for me. It's George A. Romero again. This time, his 1978 seminal horror film, Dawn of the Dead, the sequel to Night of the Living Dead, except, of course, it doesn't follow any characters from the original film for reasons which you will work out if you've seen the original film. This time around, it is deliberately very much a commentary on consumerism as four characters take up refuge in a shopping mall
Okay. Bit of a theme here, Paul, but go on.
And, you know, when the dead finally do break in, they're shuffling around between the stores, and there's many, many shots of that through that. You know, what's George trying to say here, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, you know, okay.
So it's got that layer to it, but it's got some great gore gags in it. Again, designed by, not again, first time designed by Tom Savini, is where he made his, cut his teeth and made a name for himself, and he would go and have a huge career through the 80s in horror films.
I've heard that.
And, you know, that they're not scary individually, the zombies in this film, but it's when they form a pack and you're trapped and just...
Are they slow moving?
Very slow.
Okay.
Yeah, these are the shambling kind of whatever type. Now, whereas fast zombies, which we'll get to, I think tend to be scarier because they'll kill you quicker. This creeping sense of doom that this version of the undead bring is something which is really powerful, even for a film made from 1978, made in 1978.
Yeah, I'm glad you were. I'm glad you bring this one up, Paul, because it actually is an honorable for me. I think I heard too much about it before I saw it, and the trope of the consumerism just didn't really connect with me at the time when I saw it. So, but I'm glad you brought it up because it's good stuff.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot. It was one of the first imported DVDs that I got back in the day when I used to collect those. But I know that some people find it too slow. No pun intended. So, yeah. All right.
My name's Seven.
We all brace ourselves again. Yep.
Oh, okay. I think you'll agree with this one, even though you'll understand it's very commercial. It's Zombieland, man.
Yeah.
My number seven is Zombieland.
Hey, that's my number six.
Hey! Oh, good. Then I don't want to talk about it at all.
No, you should justify.
Okay. Everyone,
please, go. You should explain.
I'll just tell you that Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg as Abigail Breslin. I think, to be honest with you, the thing that was my favorite about the movie was the way it's presented, where all the rules and the stuff like that are actually printed on the floor, or, you know, like whatever, it's in the graphics as people drive away and stuff. That's very, very cool. But also just the idea that the Jesse Eisenberg nerd has developed a system for dealing with zombies, just like a nerd would, but he's the one who's alive. So well done, nerd, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And I liked all of that stuff. I mean, yeah. Emma Stone, I have a love-hate relationship with Emma Stone.
Really?
Yes. I don't actually think she's all that, but I think she's a wonderful, wonderful actress. Like, so, I mean, I do like her, don't get me wrong, but like, yeah.
Isn't that what matters, her being a wonderful actress?
You would think so.
I'm trying to figure out where the hate part comes in.
I don't, like, occasionally some of her performances annoy me, but I know I can see how good she is still. It's weird. I have a weird relationship with everyone.
And she's a redhead, so it makes no sense at all.
I love redheads. I adore it.
Doesn't find her knockout attraction.
Is she actually? Yeah, I guess she is. Yeah. Okay, cool.
This is an honorable mention for me, but Sean, it's your next choice, so
Man.
What else about it did you love?
Yeah, I love a lot of the same stuff that Wayne talked about. You know, the way the characters play off of each other. They're all kind of, they fit into their different niches of society, but they have their different ways of dealing with the apocalypse. You know, you got Tallahassee, who's just murdering everybody and everything in his way. And you've got, you know, the Jesse Eisenberg character. I guess it's Columbus, who's come up with his rules of survival. Then you got the con artist sisters and how they've, you know, they stick together, but they've, you know, at the expense of everybody else. I like the conclusion, how they kind of make an ill-informed decision to go and open up this amusement park, even though it's just kind of to escape this zombie apocalypse, but not thinking that, of course, it's going to attract a bunch of zombies over there. I like the human nature part of it. It's good stuff. And it's also hilarious.
That is the other thing. It's because it made me laugh the whole time. I'm like, I'm loving this show. Yeah. Nice.
Yep, very nice choice, gentlemen. I guess it comes all the way around to me real fast. Mm-hmm. And here's where people jump up and down at my list and get upset, because my number six is the 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Is that?
You know what?
Hang on.
I'm going to give it to you. I like the 2004 remake better than the 78.
Oh, wait. So you put the original and the remake in the same list?
Yep.
That's ballsy. That means you adored this one.
Yeah, this one's great.
Tell me about it.
It's the opposite of what you talked about, Sean. I was one of those people saying, oh, how dare you touch this classic film? Oh, this is wrong.
I can just imagine you being
who is this Zack fucking Snyder guy? Now, that's something I keep saying all these years later. But but at the time of this particular film, I'm like, wow, he nailed this.
Yeah. And the screenplay by James Gunn, too.
Sorry, Sean. Wayne took a drink and then was choking on it.
This stuff is not as smooth as cum. All right.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Zack Snyder nailed it.
Yeah. So, yeah, he did a really good job and made the zombies, like, this is an action film, really. After a wonderful opening where, you know, you really sets the stage in this fantastically filmed sequence where the main character, Sarah Polley's husband, gets bitten by the kid next door and turns on a dime, and then is just this beast comes charging out and trying to smash through the door to get to him. It's really frightening. And then She gets to the mall, meets a bunch of other characters along the way, including Ving Rhames, and there's a heaps more characters in this film. Rather than the four in the original, there's like 12 or 15, give or take.
So this is all better, obviously?
Well, not, it's not all better. Like, it loses the commentary, you know, side of things. We don't really...
Oh, okay.
And as much as Sean said, he didn't really like that part. But it's much more entertaining, and there's way more deaths, and there's some cool action sequences. So this film gets my slight bit of approval over the original. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, horror purists.
This is quite a scandal.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, this would have made my list over the 1978 version. It was on and off my list a few times, so I'm with you.
Right.
This seems like a widely held review by the sounds of things. Okay, cool.
I mean, people like the remake, but I think it is sacrilege to suggest it's better than the original. So,
is that so? Yeah. Yet you just did.
I did.
Fantastic.
I did. So it's not only Wayne's list that's going to court controversy.
Like, everyone's going to forget all about your list after what I put in number one. Now, my number six.
Van Helsing.
There's no Van Helsing, just so you know. Just because of last week. It would have been if it wouldn't have been. Everyone, this number six movie is a foreign film that Paul showed me. And it's called Let the Right One In.
Oh, okay. Now, yes, very nice.
I didn't know what to expect because I'm like, what country is it from? Some very white people. Yeah, yeah. So,
Sweden, yeah.
And it turns out that this is an atypical love story among kids, like a bullied boy meets girl next door kind of romance, but it's not a straight up bloody horror. I think the fact that it was set in this place I'm not used to seeing horror movies in, you know, the snow and all that, and the fact that the bullying of the boy was so... I found it very intense and very disturbing and stuff. So when, you know, he befriends this vampire who essentially perhaps takes vengeance for him and so on in a certain scene, the way that was handled, it allowed me to be like, ooh, this is art house and cool, but it was a horror film technically. It's a horror film. Yeah,
it's a drama probably, but it's got definitely strong horror themes, and it's definitely vampire, and it's definitely the undead, so it definitely counts.
Right. So
absolutely.
Yeah, totally cool about this one. I was like, oh, this is great.
Nice, nice.
This one is coming up. It's coming up for me.
Oh,
it's a great movie.
Oh my God, it's Wayne's list. Sorry,
there's lots of crossovers happening here for Wayne's list, and no one is more shocked than I. All right, Sean, then. Well, what did you appreciate so much about Let the White One In?
Let the White One In?
She was very pale. She was very pale.
Very pale, yeah.
Well, she's dead.
And also a vampire, so you know.
Yeah, I really appreciated how it took a different angle with vampires. You know, it's two kids in the main roles, and both of them just put in really good performances. Mm. And just the way that kind of the main character, Oscar, he has his relationship with violence being that it's inflicted on him. And then Ellie, the vampire, has her relationship with it in that she has to do it in order to survive. And he would like to do it the way that she does it. And then she kind of does it for him. And it's intricate, you know, it's layered. It's really good. And then the way it comes together with that scene in the pool, like you mentioned before, that's a great
insane.
Scene.
When the arm appears, like, oh, shit. Yeah. I was like, God damn. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice mix, isn't it, between the ridiculousness of the Twilight's vampires and the animalistic awful ones in 30 Days of Night.
And I've been so happy that, some kids died. I was like, Jesus.
Well, I think they deserved it. I think everyone would agree.
Yeah, that's why. It's like, you little fuckers, die.
So. Yeah. Come up and, another callback.
There we go. Yeah, very nice. All right, thank you for that, both. Then your number five, Sean, top half of the list.
My number five is the first encounter that I remember with fast zombies, and that is 2005's Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later.
Mm.
Ooh. Technically, it's Paul a virus.
But you got lawyered!
But it's nice to refer to a classic, wonderful horror
totally
film.
Fine,
go
all right?
On, go on, Sean.
It's totally fine, Sean. Paul is a bitch.
Wayne's list.
Paul is a bitch.
He'd be getting all this kind of shit.
I bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It's like you're trying to ruin the show, Contox.
Sorry, Sean, go on.
Please.
Yeah, no, I don't have a lot to say about this one. It's very simple, you know, it plays around with the whole humans are the real enemy kind of trope a little bit, but then there's great comeuppance at the end for it, and there is kind of a triumph of the human spirit aspect of it as well. Cillian Murphy in his, all his glory a few times, but on the come up
Dick?
At this point in his career.
Vague memory.
Yeah, there is.
Cillian Dick?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
Wayne is downloading it tonight.
I just thought it was like, he's quite a big actor, go showing his dick
this
everywhere.
Is way back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Very simple story, but very effective. I did think about it being a virus, but I figured they died before they came, before they were reanimated. So, you know, I justified it in my mind.
Dude, it's totally fine. Bull's a bitch.
It is totally fine. No worries at all. All right, that's to me then for my number five. I'm amazed that no one's mentioned any of my top five yet, so...
That's because, I know, please.
My last, I will say this, last vampire film on my list is a bit of a classic one. Wayne, you might actually agree with this one.
Mm.
It's a Quentin Tarantino written film that also stars him. It's From Dusk Till Dawn.
So on my list.
Yeah.
So on my list. Okay, please nice. Tell us about Dusk Till Dawn.
Dusk Till Dawn, directed by Robert Rodriguez, is a film of two halves. The first half is this kind of crime, typical Quentin Tarantino-ish
road movie
with some over-the-top gore and violence, which kind of lets you know you're in for something different than the norm.
This is true.
And then halfway through, they reach a place called the Titty Twister as they're on the run with George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino's characters are on the run, and they have a family hostage, including Harvey Keitel and Juliette Lewis. And that turns out that they take refuge at a place which is run by and effectively is a place for vampires to feed.
Pussy, pussy, pussy!
Yeah. As led by Salma Hayek's Santonico
Pandemonium. By the way, that's a quote from the movie. I'm not just saying that.
Not this time, anyway.
Yeah, the other six times I had to edit it out.
That character's name is Chet Pussy.
It is.
Okay, so.
It is. It's a very stupid film, but God, it's fun. And I love the shit. I watched this film like three times at the cinemas when it came out in like 1996.
Do you find that people are either on board or put off with this unchanged? Like, you obviously are on board, so am I. But like, I can see that a lot of people, the tonal shift really threw them. They didn't
if you
like
didn't
it.
Know what you're going in for, but then I don't know how you didn't know it was a horror film going into with the trailers and whatever. You just walked out, oh, Quentin Tarantino's written a film after Pulp Fiction. I might sit and watch this one.
Yeah, it's funny that that's actually the marketing is important in this movie. Yeah. If you saw it cold, you might not have that problem. Yeah.
So.
Did you like that?
I saw it cold.
Oh, did you?
Did you?
I did. I saw it cold. I didn't know anything about it, went in and saw it, and the tonal shift did not work for me. And I haven't revisited it yet. I should, but I just haven't.
That would have been really interesting. Like,
yeah, I know.
Like,
it would be great.
What?
Like, yeah, it was very jarring.
There's the moment early on the film where Quentin Tarantino's character gets shot through the hand, and he's looking through the hole in his hand at George Clooney. I'm like, okay, this film has set something here. Yeah. Not sure you'd be doing that, just quietly.
Well, it's more like, I'm just interested that Sean, like, it didn't work for him. Like, in the cinema, someone's like, that guy with a smooth voice over there doesn't get this tonal shift. I think it's cool. All right, nice, good options.
Anything you mentioned it's coming up in your list?
Yeah,
so anything totally else you want to add?
No, no, that was it. I just threw the crap out of it. I think George Clooney was as cool as he could get here.
Yeah, he's all right, pretty cool.
It's the only time I've seen that tattoo work where it crawls up your, like, come on now, it's not happening any other way, right?
Ooh, can we imagine that? Wayne getting the George Clooney
face. Are you kidding me?
Neck tattoo.
First of all, how big would that tattoo have to be? Okay, yeah, no, please go ahead, boy.
All right, cool. Then that's you, actually.
Oh, it's me.
Your number five.
My number five is, all right, screw it, everyone. I really liked I Am Legend.
Oh.
I liked the shit out of it. I don't give a fuck, all right? It was, oh no, now you're going to play some Will Smith shit, aren't you, motherfucker?
I am.
Eat my balls. Eat all of my balls. Open up, let them drop in, use your tongue. He's looking for the fucking sound.
What the hell?
Suck my balls. In case anyone doesn't know this, it's about Will Smith playing the last man alive in post-apocalyptic New York City when the infected undead motherfuckers in the movie are all like sort of a vampire-zombie hybrid, would you agree? Something like that.
I feel like they're more vampires.
They're fusty. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I Am Legend is imbued with that type of sense. For me, right, I found all of the Will Smith shit great. I know that the movie itself diverts from whatever the text was in terms of the end, and I actually like both endings. Like, I've seen both of them. Pretty fucking great. The dog. I love dogs.
The dog.
I love dogs. All right, when I turned into a vampire and busted out, I shot my pants, man. That was horrible, horrible shit. But, I mean, I take it you horror aficionados are not so forgiving of this film.
I think this film is bog standard average. It's okay.
Bog standard average?
Yeah.
I actually, it's really? Fine. No? You too, Sean?
It has its moments, but mostly it's just fine.
I'm fine with that. I guess I like the idea of driving around with your dog looting New York City. I don't know.
Wayne's
that's right.
Visa has just been cancelled.
I'm a little bit gangster, I'm sure.
All right, there it is. I Am Legend at Wayne's number
that's right.
Five. So we're over to Sean for your number four.
My number four is What We Do in the Shadows. So we have talked about it. So yeah.
Pimp.
That's definitely worth a low. That was definitely worth a low for sure.
I was running low.
Okay. My number four, again, this is a seminal piece of my childhood growing up here. This is from 1985.
Seminal in your childhood.
Seminal.
Oh, seminal. Got it.
I didn't see it in 1985.
That's okay, man. Whatever. I ain't judging.
But I probably did see it by the time, before the end of the decade. And it's Dan O'Bannon's kind of almost a hybrid reboot. The Return of the Living Dead.
Now, how many Living Deads are up in your ass today? Like, what? That's a few. That's
a few. Yeah, I thought I was going to hear about this one, and it's one that I have somehow not been able to see yet, and I don't know how I've missed it. I know.
Oh wow! I know. Okay, I don't want to spoil.
I started seeing people shout it out on the social media, and I was like, oh man, how did I not catch up with this one before I did the list?
It's not going to have the impact on you now as an adult that it had on me as a you know.
When did it come out?
Came out 85. I would have seen this in 87 or 88, I reckon, mm-hmm. as, you know, 12 or 13 year old. And
good Lord.
Probably too young, given how
intensive. Yeah,
but it scared me.
No like, shit.
The tone of the film's quite comical in places, particularly early on. But the further it goes, the darker it gets, the more nihilistic it becomes. It has a character in it who, you know, also lots of full frontal nudity from a particular character, should we put it that way?
Dude or chick.
Chick. And
cool.
And she pulled that one up as well.
At one point, she says, "My worst way to die would be to be eaten alive by a bunch of old men, you know, slathering over my naked body."
And
of
that's what happens.
Exactly what happens. In effect, yeah. And it contains the best zombie ever put on screen.
Why?
Better than any of these Walking Dead sort of digitally enhanced ones. Tarman is the scariest zombie ever made.
Tarman.
Yeah, you have to see to believe how good this zombie looks. It's absolutely incredible.
Really? And it's all practical effects, obviously.
Yeah, haunted my dreams, this particular creature. And
another piece of the puzzle, people.
Yeah. That's why it's more comical and they talk. The zombies actually talk in this film.
Oh, and how do they sound?
Oh, like, you know, kind of raspy. slow talking, raspiness.
Yeah, okay,
sort of,
sure,
you know,
sure.
One of them grabs and they're smart enough. They're smart enough to know that they need to eat. And they explain why in this film, which I won't spoil. But one of the zombies picks up, the CB two-way radio.
Yeah.
Send more paramedics.
Oh, I see.
So they can eat more people.
I get it. And are these people just for people or just for brains?
These ones eat brains.
Brains.
This is
got
the brains.
It. Yeah. Brains.
Brains. Yeah.
Mm.
They don't really care about anything else other than. So there's lots of people's heads being ripped open in this
film.
Of course. Yeah.
Wonderful.
You're a
check it out, Sean. Wayne, avoid.
No problem. Check.
You're four then.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So this is obviously, I'm sorry to spoil this for, I assume, both of you. Okay. But it's from a four for me. It's Shaun of the Dead. I assume it's on both of your lists. Okay. So I suspect this might even be Paul's number one. I don't know. Is it on your list, Sean?
Yes.
Okay.
It's on my list.
I don't really want to talk then about it when you two expert motherfuckers have got it on your list.
Well, why did it get to four?
Okay, it got to four because I, like you said, I mean, the horror and comedy part in it, to me it was funnier than it was horror-y, right?
Yep.
So me as the guy who's like wants that to happen and basically only likes comedies, I'm loving that shit. But also probably, I think my favorite thing about it is, you know how he talks about his plans to do this, then we all go back to the beer for a beer?
Yep.
I don't know why it is about that sequence, but every time it lands on Simon Pegg with a beer and winking at the camera, that's like, ha ha! I don't know, I really like that.
And again, it's that Edgar Wright style.
It is, it is.
Oh man,
the
great
editing of it,
so
and then
great.
The shot into him. It's
but, and I don't know why I find it so just pleasing to see that again, but I always liked it because it's almost like, we're going to do this. It feels like he knows what he's doing and this is apocalypse, but he's got a plan and it just made me feel good.
It's just a shitty plan.
Yeah, it's a shitty plan. But at least someone had one.
Yeah. I love that because in a lot of zombie movies, you see people who are ill-prepared for an apocalypse, but then all of a sudden they evolve into these fighting machines, and that just doesn't happen here. And
yes!
Especially with Nick Frost. That's just great.
Yeah.
And Nick Frost has no evolution at all during the movie.
No, not really. Not at all.
Do you remember in the sequel, Nick Frost, in that World's End?
Oh, okay. It's really a sequel, but a follow-on film.
He sells action really well in that movie, so he could have done it here, but he just didn't. You know, it was cool. It was good.
So I do it in the night.
Eh?
It's the life of the film.
I suppose so.
It is the night, dickhead. No, it doesn't say dickhead, but yeah. Sean, what do you love about Shaun of the Dead? Apart from the name.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of what Wayne talked about, and just the editing of Edgar Wright, the direction is just fantastic. You know, I love the little touches. The Sean walking like a zombie when he's tired, his mom and his girlfriend talking the same way, how they're oblivious. They're oblivious to everything until it's in their house, like literally in their house. The running gag of Sean having red on him that starts with the pen, and then obviously he's covered in blood by the end. It's all just, I mean, the little touches that go on top of everything else is just great.
I think it's one of the best scripts ever written. Full stop. Every single moment in this film pays off.
Who wrote it?
Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg.
Really? Yeah. So they're clearly horror fans, because you know, you're the one, you tell me about all of the nods that they get.
And there's just so many nods to so many different films in the zombie genre throughout, you know.
There's the achievement.
That's incredible alone, but like just every bit that gets set up in that first 15, 20 minutes of the film pays off in some way or another by the end of the movie. There's not a wasted frame in this film. And there's so few films I think can fall into that category. My favorite shot in the film is the one shot where coming out of his house, walking down the street to get Cornetto.
Cornetto.
He gets the Cornetto, comes back, and then not long later, 10, 15 minutes later, does the same thing again when the zombies, and he's just, like Sean said, is oblivious.
Doesn't notice.
And all the shit, and then he slips in the blood, and he's, and again, all that one shot is just incredible.
That is good. Yeah, that is good.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, great show. Yeah. Great show. Okay.
And the nods, like you said, all the nods to the other zombie movies, like Nick Frost's character saying into the phone, "We're coming to get you, Barbara." Yeah. That's Sean's mom's name. It's great.
There, see, all that kind of shit, that's not there for you guys, and you nailed it, but it wasn't there for me, but I still loved it. This is an amazing show.
Yeah. And I don't know anyone who dislikes this movie. I've never met a single person who fucking shit.
And when that happens, I want to be there.
All right. So that was, four for you? Yep. So three for Sean.
Three for me is Let the Right One In.
Nice.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Yeah. My three then, over straight back to me. I guess we'll rip through some of this early stuff, top of the level stuff
We totally will.
No one's mentioned this one yet.
Bring it.
You knew it was coming. If you're a fan of the show, I'm not going to bang on about it. It's my foreign language film entry. It's Train to Busan.
Oh.
No.
Whoa.
Damn it.
You know what? I was going to watch this for this show and I ran out of time. Now I kind of wish I did.
Oh, man.
Please.
Yeah, you should. I've been banging on about it for a long time. You
then
should
let's hear what
this.
Sean has to say about it.
Yeah, Sean, you tell us your love for Train to Busan.
I mean, to me, it's like the best feel-good zombie movie, right? Like, it starts off, like, what other zombie movie has such great characters? You know, between the relationship of the dad and the daughter, it builds that out in the beginning of the movie, and then it pays off. You know, I don't want to spoil too much for Wayne, because, you know,
Watch it now if you both dig it.
Oh yeah, there's so much payoff for the movie if you're paying attention, which is not common for a zombie movie. You know, as these people, I mean, obviously people are going to get devoured, and you are sad as they get devoured, and the end of the movie is just devastating, and it's just everything about it is great.
I want to take a little bit of an issue with something you said there, because you may have set Wayne up the wrong way. I'm not sure feel good is the right expression to use in this film.
Okay.
Yeah, what he got to devastate? I'm like, that's more like it.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. No, that's better. That's better. Because then when I watch it, I'm like, don't expect to feel good, you Nancy. You know, so that's good. Yes.
But otherwise, you've 100% nailed it. Like, the characters, like when some of them die, you're like, ugh. And then the most despicable character, one of the worst villains ever put to film, who you just hate so much by the end of this film. So.
Oh, okay. Good, good, good. It's great. Nice.
All right, then.
I'm surprised that was this low for you, Paul.
Yeah, but my top two are top tier. And look, my top three, you can tell how much I love zombie films. And because this falls as low as number three. All right, Wayne, you're number three.
Okay, well, mine's From Dusk Till Dawn. So that's where that went.
Okay.
We're done there.
All right, that's nice. It's on both our lists, Sean. Yeah, we'll obviously not a fan, but that's okay. And so far, the only one that's crossed over all three is Shaun of the Dead. I think that might be the only one that's going to do it. All right, number two, Sean.
Number two, Shaun of the Dead.
There it is.
Yes! There it is.
Oh, I guess I know what your number one is then, having just done that math in my head. No one's going to have my number two on their list. That's okay. Technically, it's a foreign film. It's from New Zealand. It's Peter Jackson's seminal horror classic, Brain Dead / Dead Alive.
I knew you'd have this one here.
Fuck, this movie's awesome. It is the most gore-tastic, wonderful film. The last act of this film is one of the best experiences I've ever had sitting inside a theater watching with a crowd of just losing it laughing, baying for more horror fans was just incredible.
You know, it's one thing to have a lot of blood and gore, but once you put pus into the equation, it sort of makes me go, oh. Like, most movies can't gross me out, like put me off food, but this one got there, man. When I was happening, and I saw it in the cinema next to Paul, who made sure I fucking saw it in front of him, right? I was like, ooh. Like that. And I don't usually do that, man.
And I realized for Wayne,
this sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
No pus in soup for
oh
Wayne.
Oh, God. That's disgusting. What's wrong with you, man?
That bit was gross. But the gore effects towards the end of the film when Lionel, you know, this very, like, he's very much a Shaun-esque character, but, like, even more clueless and not as well put together. It doesn't even have a plan. His plan ultimately ends up being, I'm just going to fire up the lawnmower and carve my way through those zombies.
What the fuck with that shit?
Have you seen this one, Sean?
I have not caught up with it yet.
You've got to watch this one.
Yeah, but don't eat while you're watching
it. On the show, but I've not seen it yet.
There's a challenge.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I love this film so much, and if you've seen it, you know why. If you haven't, I think even you would appreciate it's a well put together film.
It's rough, okay? So if you're thinking of Peter Jackson,
low budget,
yeah, Peter, like Lord of the Rings, it ain't that. Obviously, this is where he started, but you can tell where his sensibilities lie. He's like, let's fuck with this, you know?
It's got way more of a budget than his first film, Bad Taste, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Is that so?
Very bad, in very bad taste. So.
Yeah, this is in bad taste too, in my opinion, a bit.
Oh, that one's way worse.
That one's worse? Yep. Okay, see, that's, yeah. I don't know.
I'll give you an example. A character uses a chainsaw to carve through the middle of an alien and pop out between its legs, and he goes, I've been reborn.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. What the hell? You know what? You think that guy did Lord of the Rings?
Yeah,
come on,
that guy
now,
did Lord
you know?
Of the Rings.
That's right.
So, okay.
And something is not that I love the film, but The Lovely Bones? The Lonely Bones?
The Lovely Bones.
The Lovely Bones.
So. I saw that. And that was
I didn't love it, but yeah. No, it's certainly a nuanced film, very, very restrained.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, then, your number two, Wayne.
My number two. This is going to be great.
Uh-oh.
Blade!
Okay. It counts.
Now, I thought about Blade or Blade 2, but Blade is actually a better film. Just Blade 2 is more fun because of all the Ron fucking, you know, all the vampire team sort of against.
Yeah,
the
I like
fucking
Blade 2 more, but yeah, probably Blade.
It is a better movie because you get just Stephen Dorff, and it still was successful. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Stephen Dorff. Me and Paul laugh about this all the time. There's a scene where Stephen Dorff dodges bullets in slow motion.
And it's not the greatest bit of acting.
Well,
that
it's,
way.
Just, it's just that there's no way he would have time to move when the bullet was already towards his head.
Well, he's a vampire. That's what it's trying to show.
I know.
And then he has super, he's the most powerful of them all. But it's just the way he does the. Because, you know, he
jitters and then.
He exaggerates and moves slightly the wrong way and then goes the other way. And in slow-mo, it just looks really dumb.
It's like he had time to change his mind. But other than that, the whole idea of the Daywalker and the fact that he can sheathe a sword by just not even looking right in his back there, right there, boom. And all of his cool tech with his sword that cuts your hand off if you don't flick the switch and fucking even the bad guy, the whole Stephen Dorff bad guy group of vampires, I really liked their shit. So all up, really entertaining, even though massively bloodthirsty. Less bloodthirsty than the second one. But still, my jam. Always.
I don't know. This one has the blood rave. That's pretty literally bloodthirsty.
That was I suppose you're right. But they didn't explode like it in the second one. That fucking vampire juice. That
oh
yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah. True.
But anyway, yeah. Loved this show. You must have seen this, right, Sean?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've seen Blade.
Blade. Okay.
I like
so,
Blade.
You know. You like Blade?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I do too. Okay. That's it. It counts. It's a good choice. Well done.
Yeah. There you are.
All right then. Well, I think it's pretty official for at least two of us. I don't know if we've heard Wayne. No, Wayne. Great. We'll
I'm very excited to see what number one is for Wayne here.
Give us your 10 through 2, Sean, and then just give us your number one, which we do know.
Of course, yes. My number 10 is 30 Days of Night. Number 9, Overlord. Number 8, Night of the Living Dead. Number 7, Army of Darkness. Number 6, Zombieland. Number 5, 28 Days Later, if they are really zombies. Number 4, What We Do in the Shadows. Number 3, Let the Right One In. Number 2, Shaun of the Dead. And number 1, Train to Busan.
Yes, great choice. Very, very nice. Well played. All right, likewise, mine has been revealed, so I'll race through mine. My number 10, Night of the Creeps. 9, Night of the Living Dead. 8, What We Do in the Shadows. 7, the original 78 Dawn of the Dead. 6, the 2004 remake Dawn of the Dead. Sorry. Number 5, From Dusk Till Dawn. 4, The Return of the Living Dead. 3, Train to Busan. 2, Brain Dead. And my number 1, of course, is Shaun of the Dead.
It's number 1, man.
Yep. With a bullet.
I tell you, my number 1 and 2 vacillated back and forth. I don't know how many times.
That's a good list then, because it's like yeah. Playoff. By the way, does that mean, Paul, this is your favorite horror film?
No.
No!
My favorite horror film is not a zombie nor a vampire film.
Surely not. Mm. Okay, interesting. Right. Well done then. Okay. My.
Here we go then.
Okay, here we go.
Strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go. Sean? Here we go.
Hold my hand.
Right. My 10 was Fright Night. Number 9 was Resident Evil.
What?
Excellent.
No.
Excellent work. Number 8 was the exquisite League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
7, Zombieland. 6, Let the Right One In. 5, I Am Legend.
Inconceivable.
Number 4, Shaun of the Dead. Number 3, Dusk Till Dawn. 2, Blade. And my number 1, people, is a movie I saw in 1994 with a lady that I was very fond on.
Fond of.
I had a big fan.
Fondue.
It was Interview with the Vampire. Yeah. Now.
You're mocking me.
Now. All of you horror people who listened in and all your other horror, what's the...
Someone during the week said, I guarantee you Interview with the Vampire will be on Wayne's list.
Absolutely.
No, someone said, Interview with the Vampire. I said, I guarantee that'll be on Wayne's list. I totally forgot until now.
Well.
Was it all the full frontal nudity that did it for you? Was that what it was?
Was there a lot of full frontal? I was, Oh, you mean of chicks? Absolutely. No, it was, No, everyone. Okay, so I hear this was a novel first. Don't know.
Yes,
Anne
it was.
Rice. Sure, yeah. I know.
Yep.
Anyway, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Antonio Banderas, basically good-looking men becoming vampires. That's what the theme
vampires.
Is. Vampires. Vampires. Now, I remember enjoying the homoeroticness of this movie.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because it was like so vampires are just kind of like the embodiment of kind of not quite sexuality, but perhaps, you know, and that I guess was the point of the show and the movie and the story. But giving it this kind of treatment where, because Brad Pitt and like Tom Cruise and stuff like that, I never read the novels, but I know that the author was against Tom Cruise playing the lead, and then she saw it and she said, oh my God, he's amazing. I guess she saw her royalty check, whatever, right? Yeah. But like
around the same time.
No, but it was so, I don't know. I guess I didn't expect to like any kind of vampire movie. And yes, I guess it's a romance, but it's not really, because it's actually a bit harsh with all of the biting dogs and shit like that in this. I just really
enjoyed it. There were some harsh moments, for sure.
There were some harsh moments. Yeah. And I don't know. Everything about it was just agreed with me. And it's one of my favorite... It's actually one of my favorite kind of Tom Cruise movies, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right. So Interview with the Vampire, I know no one agrees. But it's, you know, hey, this is true.
It's your
definitely
list.
Meets the brief.
Did you?
Sean, anything else you want to add about Interview with the Vampire?
No, it's been a long time since I've seen Interview with the Vampire, honestly. I don't remember too much about it.
Well, it'll give you a chubby, let me tell you.
All right.
Or just me.
In a shot. to no one.
Yeah. On that bombshell, very quickly, just run down any honorable mentions you want to. We won't talk about them. We'll just list them.
Yeah, honorable mentions for me. I had the new one on Netflix, hashtag Alive. You guys seen that one?
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. One Cut of the Dead. Mm-hmm. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Okay.
You mentioned Dawn of the Dead 2004. Dead Snow, Norwegian. Yep. Zombie movie was pretty good, and I put Bram Stoker's Dracula on here as a honorable mention just for
I get it
yeah, just way over the top, just for Gary Oldman.
Yep.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves' performance was horrendous. Yeah. But the movie itself was still quite good.
Yeah.
All right, I had Cabin in the Woods, you know, redneck,
of course.
Oh yeah,
zombie.
Yeah.
Very close to my list. Fright Night, mm-hmm. as mentioned. Day of the Dead, the final George Romero film, which technically is probably my favorite in some ways, but it's definitely not as important or well-made a film as the other two.
Hmm.
Zombieland and Planet Terror was my last one.
Mm-hmm. Planet Terror? Still haven't seen that one?
I haven't seen it.
No.
Oh, it's worth a watch.
Okay, yeah, cool. I'm done with it.
Part of the Grindhouse
release.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I saw Lost Boys. Oh, wait, no. That's,
Lost
that
Boys,
was
shit.
You're going to put Lost Boys in? Oh, okay.
I might have done.
All right. Blade 2. Look at that. I got one Paul was thinking of.
Yeah.
Blade 2, and this is an odd one. Love at First Bite. It was a movie I saw when I was a kid.
God, that's old.
Yeah, it's got fucking George Hamilton in it. And it's a comedy vampire thing. I know. It was when I saw it as a kid, and I was like, this is funny. They're saying shit and stuff in the vampire movie, which was playing off for laughs. I actually quite liked it.
Jeez, if you go on that far, you might as well go Once Bitten with Jim Carrey.
Oh, I remember that fucking movie. He played his guitar, his leg like a guitar in one scene. It was amazing. I was like, oh, this guy's awesome.
Did it sound like a guitar?
It was in riff. He was dancing on an end floor and there was a guitar riff. So, yes.
All right. That's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown in a segment that we call The Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
Talk about.
Pop 10.
You know, something occurs to me.
What's that?
We should get Sean to do a voiceover for that bit.
Yeah. All right.
Talk about.
Yeah.
What's much better than my effort? But anyway. Okay. Kicking off with Dan is not the problem on Twitter. Gave 3. Zombieland, Anna and the Apocalypse, which quite a few people mentioned.
They said I should see it. Is it good?
Have you seen that one, Sean?
It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. I agree as well. Like, it, as a
musical
horror film goes, it's okay, yeah. But it's still a musical.
Okay.
And number 1, Army of Darkness. So there you go, Sean. Mecha Prawn said Return of the Living Dead, Romero's Dawn of the Dead, and Fulci's Zombie. So first mention of that one.
Mm.
Film Code Podcast had Night of the Living Dead from 1968. Dead Silence, which is a lesser seen James Wan film. I know you haven't seen it, Wayne. Sean, have you seen that one?
I have not.
No, so it's about a ventriloquist dummy and yeah.
Is it good?
It's okay. Yeah. It was pretty reviled by critics at the time, so it may not have got the play that it might have got otherwise.
Mm.
And one I've never heard of before, The Granny.
The Granny.
Nope. All right. We're all clueless on that one. Yeah. VHUS podcast, Happiness of the Katakuris. Ghosts, undead, who knows? There are singing severed heads. Okay.
All right.
Dead and Buried, which is an old school horror film, which definitely involves reanimated all the undead. Call the Coroner. Let's talk about whatever comes up. And Night of the Creeps. Hey, zombies or space slugs driving people cars? You decide.
Really? Yeah, I think you've seen all of these.
No, I haven't seen the first one, Happiness of the Katakuris. It sounds very interesting.
Okay.
Good friend of the show and not far away from you, I believe, Dave from the Super Movie Bros podcast, as in he's in Philly. So Return of Living Dead, Shaun of the Dead, and Dawn of the Dead 78. I don't include Evil Deads because they're Deadites, which is demons raising the dead, not undead really. And fuck, Dead Alive, i.e. Brain Dead is in there as well. But no 28 Days Later because they are infected, not dead. We clear? So there you go. That was almost like you're talking straight to
my
you,
vote.
Shaun.
These people.
There goes my vote. Right in my face.
Over to the Facebook community, links in the show notes if you want to get on board with the discussion. Chris Yeeney says, has Wayne seen Anna and the Apocalypse yet? He will undoubtedly put in Van Helsing, shaking my head.
See, would have, good call, but you know how it went.
And his top choice today was Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
Joey DiCarlo from the So Is It podcast, another great show. Fido, which is a film that stars...
Bruce Campbell.
Is it Bruce Campbell?
Isn't it?
Or I'm thinking of... Am I thinking of the wrong one with Billy Crystal? Not Billy Crystal. Billy Connolly. Now we have to check.
No, you may be right there. You may be right.
And it's basically like the zombies are like pets effectively kept in.
Billy Connolly,
Billy Connolly. Okay. Army of Darkness and the original Dawn of the Dead. Gerald Morris, good friend to the show. 2 Ps on a podcast.
Horror guy.
Patron, great. And yes, hashtag horror guy. So he knows this is going to be good.
This is on.
He gave 4, Planet Terror. 3, Shaun of the Dead. 2, Train to Busan. His number 1, Return of the Living Dead. So all of those, apart from Planet Terror, on my list. Mike Margosian, another patron of the show, good friend. Shaun of the Dead, Zombieland, 28 Days Later. So there you are, Sean. Bit of support there. There's a vote for you.
All right.
Nick Haskins from the Epic Film Guys, soon to be not on the Epic Film Guys. So all our very best to Nick as he retires from the show as of, I believe, 1st of November.
Getting ass changes, everyone.
Oh, there you go, Nick. Apparently, Wayne has worked out your entire life in that one statement. We're going to miss you, mate. All the very best.
That's Wayne's epitaph right there.
Number 3, Train to Busan. Number 2, Nosferatu, the classic from, I think, 1922. And number 1, Shaun of the Dead. Now, this is a pretty good answer from Geordie Davidson, another top-level patron of the show. He says, horror's not really my bag, might like Wayne. And the definition of undead I found was technically dead, but still animate. With that in mind, number 3, You Only Live Twice. You're welcome, Wayne.
Well done.
Spoilers, Bond is killed in the second scene. They have a funeral and everything, so legally, i.e. technically, he's dead.
Even I couldn't give that one, but go on.
Come on, Geordie.
Keep going.
Rebecca, a Hitchcock classic where the title character has died before the film starts, but is definitely making her influence felt throughout.
I don't know what that's good, but I like Paul's face.
And here we go, The Princess Bride. Listen, Wesley is technically dead, and Carrie Elwes has taken on the character of the Dread Pirate Roberts. Totally counts.
That one you could get through a courtroom.
can't handle the truth.
He was reanimated, son. Don't even worry about it.
Mostly. Yeah, he was. Yeah, towards the end. All right, here we go. And then he actually gave ones he really did think fit the brief. Army Darkness, The Sixth Sense, and Cabin in the Woods.
Nice.
Last couple to wrap it up then. Luke Alexander had number one, Idle Hands. Do you remember that one? With, what's his name, Devin Sauer?
Yes.
Yep. Shaun of the Dead again, and Cocoon. Kerry Melville had my top three already taken, Train to Busan, Dawn of the Dead, and Shaun of the Dead, but One Cut of the Dead, Night of the Creeps, and Dead Alive / Brain Dead. For her. And finally, Pinter Comics podcast. Now, I mentioned Pinter Comics last because I'm on their podcast in the coming week. Ooh. We talked about 1917 in a great deal of depth, and that was fantastic to be there. Nice. Thank you to John for inviting me on. He said, I'm rare that I prefer the Day of the Dead over Dawn. I totally understand. But so did George Romero. So that Train to Busan is newer, but will be regarded as a classic in a few years. And I'll go with Return of the Living Dead because trash is naked again, in reference to what I was referring to before.
Okay, there you are.
And that is it for your feedback on the topic at hand. Thank you so much for that. And sorry if we didn't get to it in terms of your choices. But that's it for episode 290. Now, Sean, how do our good listeners find your show and all the rest of it?
Well, for now, anybody can find me on the social media at SYY Podcast, so you don't have to spell any part of the show.
Good just call,
S-Y-Y, man. SYY Podcast is where you can find me. And my episode for All the Horror is going to be dropping the day after this one, so you can find me in your podcatchers tomorrow.
Yes, that's it. Check out all the great hashtag All the Horror shows. Go back, check out the month, and get on board to support a fun cause that the podcasting community has put together. Now, Wayne, and I want to say also, big thank you, Sean, for carving
thank you.
Your Saturday night to join us here today and bringing some class to the show, making up for Wayne. It's nice when it's the classy outweighs the unclassy for once.
It's also nice that now that we're at the show's end and Sean has stopped talking, I can stop jerking off. So thank you very much, man.
No, I've had a blast, you guys. I really appreciate you having me. I will be available any Saturday night. I will do this anytime. This has been great.
Thank you. Thanks so much for coming along. Wayne, how did listeners find us and feedback on the show? Blah, 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 all that.
Yeah, Google us. You'll find our socials, The Countdown Podcast, or send us an email at the count. Fucking. Fucking. Fuck.
Yes. It's both just, ends.
It's like earlier in the day than normal. And I, anyway, sorry, you can email us at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host. Check out the Facebook listener community, links in the show notes, and ccradio.com.au for ourselves and some other great Aussie podcasts. And that is it for today's episode. Wayne, what's happening next week? Episode 291.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating
here. My dick!
Don't have to be so rude coming back. All right, you don't know. That's all you need to say.
No, I don't, Vegasil.
Right, neither do I.
We'll figure it out and come back to you, folks.
Yeah, we'll let you know during the course of the week, rather than keep Sean longer than we normally would sit here for 30 minutes trying to work it out. But this week, not so much. So thanks so much for joining us today. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ball Boys. And that's it for us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
My name is Sean.
And this has been The Soundboard.
All of your arguments are like my asshole, man.
When it comes to horror films.
Some people are new. They don't know that you're playing my own voice back to me. You're a fucking asshole.
We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Yeah, when I rewatched Wreck, I thought that I might have seen that it, was it a demonic possession rather than a zombie movie or an undead? Okay, so I'm going to
that said, if you've got it on there, I literally had that discussion with Sam from Movie Views this morning.
I'm like, did you really?
Yeah, isn't Wreck though, isn't it a demonic possession thing? And he's like, yeah, it is. Oh, okay, yeah. So I can, there's heaps of Wreck on people's lists though, so.
No,
yeah.
That's fine, man. Totally it's close fine. Enough. It's some it's
close enough for you. Some of us have here's his word again, mate. Integrity.
My integrity balls.
You believe this trick?
Oh man, the soundboard in real time. I'm so excited.
Oh man,
I'm so excited.
This is the main reason that we've got any downloads is the soundboard, not us.
I didn't tell you this, Paul, but before the movie started, I smeared my ass on the whole sound mixer. So You're touching ass, son.
Hot damn!
Fucking hell.
You believe this trick?
Welcome to the countdown. Fucking cunt! Sorry, cunt. Sorry.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Yes.
What a start.
Oh, shit.
I was so hoping for it. At least one. I needed at least one.